gracious Father in heaven, thank you for creating another beautiful day. And this day is not like any other in the past. And give us a new heart as you have created a new day for us. Holy Spirit, help us to understand the heart and mind of God who is in heaven. And let us also be able to understand the word of Jesus. Father, everything will perish and disappear, but your word will stand forever. Let your mercy and grace endure forever as well for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's think about a life. At the age of 15, he was deported from his own country and lived the rest of his life in a foreign country. And he was completely forgotten by his own countrymen for all those years. And he was not the mainstream person from his countrymen's perspective. But at the end of his life, he has written a small book, and whose first part was about his testimony of his own life, all the ups and downs and perils and dangers and blessings and so on. And the second half of his life was about his visions he received concerning the future of humanity, which not many people in his generation understood what these visions were all about. And about 600 years later, when Jesus came to the world, Jesus mentioned of this person. And Jesus mentioned of him as a prophet. And what was mentioned in his book concerning an event that was pointed out by Jesus is one of the most significant events that will take place in the end times, according to Matthew 24:15. And this forgotten man's name is Daniel. So we are going to begin a new series on the life of Daniels and the God of Daniels. Daniel means, literally, God is my judge. That's what his name stands for. God is my judge. And he was not in the rank of well-known prophets of the Old Testament, like Isaiah, Ezekiel, or Micah, and so on. And nor was he a famous person in his own country, because he served the foreign kings in four generations over two kingdoms, Babylon and Persia. He never served Judah. That's why his countrymen might have thought he was a renegade, a betrayer. But Daniel's influence is significant. And he showed how we ought to live in the world that is hostile to the Christian value. He was the light in the darkness, and his consistent commitment to the Lord all throughout his life deserves our attention. And I believe Daniel's story is well applied in our own lives as well. And today we'll find answer to this question: how did Daniel honor God in the face of a hostile world? With that in mind, would you please turn with me to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1, we are going to read first two verses to begin with, but we are going to read the rest of the up to verse 17 as we develop the story. So Daniel 1:1-2, here's the word of God. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands, along with some of the vessels of the house of God, and he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. So we need to go back to 600 before Christ. Babylon was the rising empire to be the most powerful empire of the world, defeating Assyria and Egypt. And Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon at his prime time, who conquered Judah and Jerusalem. And after winning the battle with Egypt in Carchemish in 605 before Christ, he attacked Jerusalem and took captives from Judah. And Judah was completely collapsed by 586 before Christ. It seems that the change of history was at the hand of this rising kingdom. But that is not the case. In verse 1, we just read, it says, "The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands," Nebuchadnezzar's hands. So Jehoiakim was a wicked king who did not honor God. He continued to worship the idols, and he was one of the wickedest kings in Jewish history. So God took him down along with Judah. And it was also God who raised up the new empire, Babylon, who subdued the whole world in the 6th century before Christ. So who is the real king? It is God. It is not Nebuchadnezzar or other kings or other empire. And what is the real kingdom? It is the kingdom of God. Because we know that Babylon, in 60 years, they were subdued by another rising empire, Persia. So even Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom couldn't outlast another kingdom. So kingdoms rise and go, but the kingdom of God will outlast forever. So it is our responsibility to recognize our time in which we live in and understand God's invisible hand over all things, and therefore to honor him and him alone. So now let's get into a little bit deeper. Let's look at verses 3 to 7. Then the king ordered Ashurbanipal, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles, youth in whom was no defect, who were good-looking and showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered him to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans, and the king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. Now among them, from the sons of Judah, were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And then the commander of the officials assigned new names to them. And to Daniel he assigned the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. So there are more tragedies involved with the fall of Jerusalem. People were taken captive as exiles. In the midst of the most gloom period of Israel's history, around 605 before Christ, the most catastrophic event took place in Daniel's life. The Jews were sent to exile to various parts of Babylon, and Daniel was one of the victims along with his friends. Daniel was only 15 years old, according to Josephus, who was a Jewish historian. And, you know, and he lived the rest of his life in the foreign land, across two empires, Babylon and Persia. And the Bible doesn't say that he ever returned to Judah. We believe that he died in the land of Persia. And the later verse 21 tells us how long Daniel lived as an exile. He never was able to go back to his home for at least 6 years from the age of 15. And he spent all his life in the foreign land. And these verses that we just read describe the background of Daniel. He had good family background of royal and noble descent, and he was good-looking, intelligent, wise, and had an ability of understanding and discerning knowledge. And basically, Daniel and his friends, three friends, were the cream of the crop, basically elite of the elites, the best people, most intelligent and good-looking and with good family background, so to speak. But these four boys are now called to serve the king with new education, new diet, and new name. And actually, I read Josephus. Josephus is a first century Jewish historian hired by Roman Empire to write Jewish history. And according to Josephus, these four friends became eunuch. So I believe, you know, that's a very plausible theory. It's not from the Bible, but it's from Josephus, who was the first century authority of Jewish history. He said Daniel became a eunuch of Babylon. You know, what a sad story. And the new names is given, and Daniel means God is my judge. But new name, Belteshazzar, means protect the life of the king. And Hananiah means Yahweh has been gracious, and his new name, Shadrach, I am fearful. And Mishael, who is God, and Meshach, I am humble. And Azariah, Yahweh has helped, new name, Abednego, servant of Nebo. So we can see that when your name is changed, your identity is also changed. You know, these Hebrew names were their identity deeply rooted in the Lord God. And these new Babylonian names represented gods of Babylon or kings of Babylon. And they are fearful, they need to protect, and they are humble, they are servant. New names means new identity. And the Babylonians had tried to remove this young man's identity in the new land. They want them to be completely Babylonians. And look at verse 8, however. This is a key verse. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food and with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. You know, this verse shows Daniel's determination to be faithful to the Lord at all costs. This decision is such a kind that stepped out of faith and took a stand for what he believed was God's will. Everything was hinged upon this decision. He could have been killed, even asking this permission not to eat the king's choice food and the wine. You know, Babylonians could change his homes and his diet, his name, and the education, but they could not change Daniel's heart to honor God by keeping himself holy. Why would the king's choice food defile Daniel? And the choice food was mainly the meats which might have been given to the gods of Babylon. That's why. That's why he believed that this choice food, no matter how delicious, how nutritious you know, those may be, it's a defiled because it was given to the idol. He doesn't want to eat the food given to the idol. In that sense, he doesn't want to defile himself by eating this choice food of the king. So Daniel dedicated his life for the honor of the Lord, and nothing can change his resolved heart. And even if he was killed, he would dare to be killed. That's basically the bottom line of Daniel's faith in God. And he resolved not to compromise what he believed in, and he demonstrated the same principle over 60 years of his life, consistently and persistently, and never wavering his faith. So Daniel asked the official to permit him not to eat the king's choice food and the wine. Now let's look at verses 9 through 14 to see what happens. Verses 9 through 14. Now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. And the commander of officials said to Daniel, I am afraid of my lord, the king, who has appointed your food and your drink. For why should he see your faces looking more haggard than the youth who are your own age? Then you'd make me forfeit my head to the king. But Daniel said to the overseer whom the commander of the officials had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days, and let us be given some vegetables to eat and water to drink. And then let our appearance be observed in your presence and the appearance of the youth who are eating the king's choice food. And deal with your servants according to what you see. So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. So what's going on here? I think the bottom line is when Daniel honored God, God honored him. God gave Daniel his favor and compassion. By God's favor, Daniel's diet proposal was accepted against all odds. And there should be no reason for the official to accept Daniel's proposal unless God was involved behind the scene. Who would risk his own career by granting Daniel's proposal? But the official accepted Daniel's diet proposal and replaced king's choice food and wine with vegetables and water. You know, God honors those who honor him. This is the main theme of this episode. God honors those who honor him. But now let's look at the result, which is the last portion of today's text. And at the end of 10 days, their appearance seemed better, and they were fatter than all the youth who had been eating the king's choice food. So the overseer continued to withhold their choice food and the wine they were to drink and kept giving them vegetables. And as for these four youth, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. And Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. So God's favor continued on to Daniel and his friends. They look even better than the rest of the youth who ate the king's choice food, full of good meats of the land. And wine. Wine's supposed to be good for your health too, right? The wine lovers always say that to justify. but look at this. With vegetables only with water, they were fatter than the rest. Is that possible? It's not possible, isn't it? How can you get fatter with the diet of vegetables and water than the other diet, which filled with the good food, meats and wine? This was impossible, nutritionally speaking. What happened here? And this is the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord. You know, there's no way that, you know, vegetable diet and you become fatter than those who eat all the goodies of the land. So supernatural intervention of the Lord here is here behind the scene. God favored these four boys. So besides the favoring hands of God over their diet, God anointed them with knowledge and intelligence and wisdom over their study. And God provided, especially to Daniel, with the understanding of visions and dreams, which later helped Daniel to be promoted at the top government official in his career by interpreting the king's dreams. So anointing of the Holy Spirit is often the result of, you know, your commitment to the Lord. When you commit yourself to God, God often honors your commitment by giving you various anointing of the Holy Spirit. You know, understanding, wisdom, and intelligence, and you can interpret the visions, and you can interpret the dreams, and so on. These are the only sample anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I believe God has given this gift from him to Daniel because Daniel resolved to honor the Lord. You know, prayer works that way. Worship also works that way. No one is born with gift of prayer or worship or even prophecy. But as people commit their time and heart to the Lord, God gladly lavishes his heavenly spiritual gifts to those who seek. You know, Daniel served God for a lifetime, consistently and faithfully. You know, that's the catch. He was not just hot at one time and, you know, disappear. But over 6 years of his life, you know, he could have developed, you know, grumbling hearts against the Lord. Why this happened to me, God? Why am I spending my whole life from age 15 to 75 and never having any chance to go back to my own country and serving these kings, wicked kings in the foreign land? He could have developed a heart of grumbling and heart of discontent of what his situation was all about. But there's no sign that he showed any of those things. He served God for a lifetime with consistency and persistence and with all faithfulness. And actually, he outlasted the Babylonian Empire. Babylon was subdued by another rising empire, Persia, by Cyrus in 534 BC. When the kings and the kingdoms gone, Daniel was still there and continued to serve another king of the different empire. That's unheard of. When you're a servant of a king or an empire, when empire is gone, you are gone with them. But somehow God favored him to continue to serve another king, Cyrus, who was a benign king. Actually, he made a decision to let the Jewish people go back to their country. And I believe Daniel's role was significant in that decision. So Daniel never swerved his commitment to the Lord day in, day out. He resolved to honor God and honor, and God honored Daniel. So God honors those who honor him. The sermon title is the main theme of this episode. And if you look at Romans 8:28, which is the New Testament, it's written on the screen as well. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So life of Daniel resonates with New Testament truth, Romans 8:28. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, for those who honor him, and to those who have called according to his purpose. And Daniel clearly had a purpose in his life to serve God and to honor God no matter what happens. And God honored him. So God honors those who honor him. This is the main lesson. But I think of develop a little bit more deeper into three specific lessons out of this main theme. First, honor God by being faithful to him. This is the first lesson from the story. Honor the Lord by being faithful to him. You know why God honors our faithfulness? Because he himself is faithful. He is loyal to us, actually. God doesn't have to have any obligation to be faithful to his own covenant with us, but he does. And that's why when we are faithful to him, he honors us. Success is defined by your faithfulness to God. Do you believe that? You know, success of the world, let's think about it. When you leave this world into kingdom of God, those worldly success does not carry with you. Do you know that? You know, no matter what people call you in this world, that name tag doesn't go with you when you leave. But your faithful service to the Lord will come with you in all eternity, because your faithfulness will be rewarded by Jesus Christ. You know, at the end, we want to hear by Jesus, "You are my servant, faithful one." Right? So Jesus recognized our faithfulness in all eternity, and that is success. Success has to be eternal. You know that? If your success, worldly, your definition of success does not carry with you in all eternity, that is not success. Success is associated with succession. Faithfulness is success because it succeeds even in all eternity in the kingdom of God, because God will recognize your faithful service to him. Amen? So Daniel served the Lord with a lifetime consistency and faithfulness to the Lord. And that's why Jesus even mentioned of Daniel. You know, this prophet, Matthew 24:15, this prophet talks about the end time event, and it will be fulfilled in the future. And he outlived the kings and kingdoms. No matter what happens, please remember that Jesus is the real king to whom we should be faithful to. And the kingdom of God is the real kingdom that will outlast, you know, everything that we have seen so far. Christian journey of faith is like marathon, and it takes our steadfastness, but we need to finish all the way, finish well, just like Daniel did. So God, honor God by being faithful to him. This is probably the most important lesson. You know, this is the real success, because our faithfulness will be, we'll find the reward from Jesus himself. And second lesson is honor God by not compromising the Christian values. Compromise is very easy, you know that, right? Very easy and very attractive. But it does not honor God, nor it is worthy to God. Daniel resolved not to defile himself by eating this choice food. You know, at the young age of 15, how tempting that food must have been to him. Right? They eat a lot in teenagers, right? Between boys of 13 to 18, they eat a lot. That's the time they grow, correct? Even girls, I'm not discounting girls, you know. But he resolved not to defile himself. And he only ate those vegetables and water. I don't know how long that diet has lasted, but I believe, you know, for a while, right? So do not defile yourself with worldly ideas and immorality. The application for us is not just food. Here, in our case, is we should not compromise with the worldly values. Compromise forfeits God's reward. Don't compromise with instant gratification. You know, I have this theory. You can be satisfied by compromising, or you can be satisfied by God in all eternity. But you get one satisfaction. If we compromise on earth, we get instant gratification. It's a satisfaction, right? But when you continue to be satisfied with the worldly things, you're not going to be satisfied in heaven, because you already spent your portion of satisfaction. You understand what I mean? But if you do not compromise with the worldly thing and wait until your satisfaction comes when you go to heaven, that becomes your reward, actually, your satisfaction. So don't compromise with instant gratification on earth. If you continue to do that, it becomes your habit, and it becomes you, and it becomes your character. We cannot honor God when we compromise our Christian values, such as holiness, and honesty, and faithfulness, and so on. The third lesson, honor God by relying on God's wisdom. Honor God by relying on God's wisdom. You know, God is the source of all favors, all wisdom, and all knowledge. And God is the dispenser of all gifts and blessings. And He's the source of all powers and all authorities. So rely on the Lord for your strength, as Daniel did. Daniel resolved to honor God, and God provided him all the good things. And He will honor your reliance on Him. So we developed three principles. I'd like to give a little bit more application or thought. First is about friendship. Who do you befriend with? Who are your friends in your life circle? Daniel was not all by himself. He had good, godly friends around him, and vice versa. And they were willing to die together for their faith. So I think the application is find good Christian friends who can build you up, and also you can help them to build them up as well. It is much easier to serve God together with the godly friends than being a lone ranger. That's why we have church community. We can spend time together and grow together and encourage together and admonish together and learn together. So cultivate your spiritual friendship with the godly, especially when you are young, single. Be surrounded with good Christian friends. And if you are a couple with kids, same thing applies. Be surrounded by the good, faithful Christian friends in the church and even outside the church. That's very important application. Who do we befriend with? Second is about parenting. Think about Daniel. He was only 15 years old when he was deported from his hometown. And yet his heart was totally set apart for the Lord. How did that happen, you think? How did that happen for Daniel? There gotta be parents of Daniel, correct? We can make analogy, right? Whoever their parents was, they were very committed parents to raise Daniel to have the heart of holiness and, a heart that is set apart for the Lord. And the parental values are transmitted to their children. It will be great to raise our children to be like Daniel. If you are a parent, have a noble purpose of raising your children dedicated to the Lord. We have a great examples of the Bible, the great parents. Samuel, you know, her mother was Hannah, right? Even before Samuel was born, she dedicated this son to come to the Lord. And Samuel turned out to be a completely dedicated person for God. And I believe Daniel's parents, same. We don't have their names in the Bible, but they should have a lot of reward in heaven because they raised this one man whose heart was completely set apart for the Lord. And God revealed a lot of stuff to him. And he will get to that later part of Daniel's series. What will happen in the future, especially in the last days. And Daniel's prophecy is a key to understand the history that God will open up in our future. So teach your children that faithfulness to the Lord is more important than secular success. Amen? And the last one, for teenagers and young people, they are to be like Daniel. Resolve yourself for the holiness of God. And resolve to have a different lifestyle than your peers for God's glory. Be different. You may be complete minority if you are if you resolve yourself to be holy. You know, these days there's no such thing as holiness. But holiness is the character of God. God continue to honor your holiness, being set apart for the Lord in what you say, what you do, and what you think, in all spectrum of your life, set apart. They ought to be Daniel. They ought to be Daniel. And God will honor you and be different. So God honors those who honor Him. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have such a person in the history of faith, Daniel. And but it's not Daniel who was great, but you are the one who fueled him all his greatness. You are the one who orchestrated the history. You are the one who dethroned the kings. You are the one who raised up the new kings in different generation, and you still orchestrate in our lifetime. And you are the one who raised up Jesus 2,000 years ago. And you are the one who will let him come back a second time to finish the history. And we live in a very precarious time of uncertainty. We don't know what tomorrow will hold for us and for our children. But we know that we can confidently confess that you are the one who orchestrates the whole history, and you are the one who honors those who honor you. So for us, let us be resolved to honor you no matter what happens in our life. Let us dare to be like Daniel in 21st century. Let our children dare to be like Daniel in their generation. Heavenly Father, bless each one of us and each parents and each youth and each child and each man and each woman in this room and beyond. And let Jubilee Church continue to bless the nations and raise up the next generation who will be like Daniel. And Father, thank you for the purpose that you have given to this church. And may the name of Jesus be always lifted up at the highest place. Let us spread the gospel of Jesus this week with this mindset to be completely dedicated to your kingdom and the real King, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness poured through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me a son. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ. Sealed a promise, your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed a promise. Your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Praise the one who sets me free. Hallelujah. That has lost its grip on me. You have spoken. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the my living hope.
Father God, we just want to deeply share our gratitude to you because we know that there is the real King, Jesus Christ, over all the kings and lords of the world. He will prevail. And we know that there is only one kingdom that will last forever. That is kingdom of God, the kingdom that Jesus has established in his name. And Father, we thank you that Daniel, and whose name stands for God is my judge. Father, let us remember that you are the judge, and we have the advocate, Jesus Christ, and whom the Holy Spirit testifies us, so that we can have confidence in the name of Jesus. Let us live life of faithfulness as Daniel did, as your son Jesus did on earth, to see, finally see the glory of God in heaven. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of the Father who is in heaven and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore.